It's Wednesday, July the 19th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. What's up, everybody? We got a jam-packed show for you today.
A lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, we had some stuff happening, and we're just gonna jump into it. We're not gonna give you a preview, so surprise, surprise, it's a review time! What are we reviewing?
These chips.
What chips are they?
They're Miss Vicky's sour cream
and onion. Alright, I'm gonna
let's have a live taste test.
Alright, I'm gonna knock it on the mic so you know it's real. That's a real chip.
It's a real chip.
Alright.
You can tell from the sound.
Now, when I bite into it, you're gonna know it's a real chip.
Yeah. So Vince, what's the mouth feel on this chip? Like, how did you...
Stiff.
Stiff? You know? Would you like it to be a little softer?
No, I've always liked Miss Vicky's because there's a nice weight behind the bite.
Yeah, the crunch is real. Like, here, let's listen to that.
Yeah, there's a nice pop in your mouth.
Yeah.
I feel like
you're biting through something real.
Yeah, because even when they're a little stale, they still have that thickness behind them, so you know you got that fresh crunch.
Okay, so mouthfeel out of this world.
Yeah.
Next, we're going to move on to just the flavor. How about sour cream and onion? Are you a big fan of sour cream and onion?
I like sour cream, and I like caramelized onions, and I like them together, but as a chip, it's not my favorite.
Is there any other brand of sour cream and onion chips that you would prefer over this?
No.
Or would you say that if you had to have these, Miss Vicky's is the way to go?
I would say if I had to sour cream and onion, Miss Vicky's is the way to go. It's just that when I have sour cream and onion, I feel like that is a baked potato flavor.
Okay.
Not a fried kettle cooked chip.
It feels unnatural.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see where you're coming from. Me, on the other hand, I'm a big fan of sour cream and onion. I love that. I don't know if it's like my top three chips, but it's good. I just had a craving. I need to buy some chips.
Okay.
So I think that, yeah, Miss, if you're going to get a sour cream and onion chip, you go for the Primo. You get that Miss Vicky's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been our endorsement.
Sponsored
by Miss Vicky's.
Okay.
We expect our check in the mail.
Awesome. And just remember, they got zero trans fats and...
Yeah, they're healthy in comparison.
Totally.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, cool. Great. Miss Vicky's. They're in the brown and brown bag.
Yeah. The brown and lighter brown.
Bag, yeah.
Check your local supermarket and or convenience store for more.
Yes. And with that, let's move on to another review we're doing this week. It is a movie review.
Of?
Your friendly neighborhood wall crawler.
Wolverine?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the guy.
Yeah, that's him. He digs those claws
into the wall. Yeah. He climbs up them.
And he's so friendly with that grunting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Snick, bub. That's what he says. I think so.
Okay. Isn't it like ting ting?
Yeah, snick snick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway. So yes, we were finally talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah. This is the third reboot on the movie Spider-Man series.
Third reboot, or is it just the second reboot?
Oh, yeah, it's the second
reboot. Do you count Tobey Maguire as the original?
No, because live-action Tokusatsu Spider-Man is the original.
Oh, okay, so third reboot.
This is the third reboot. But most importantly, this is the one that directly ties in with the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the MCU for short. Tom Holland, Spidey, he's being...
He's a little teenager, and he's witty.
Yeah.
And he's a teen. Like, he is very much so a teen in this movie.
He's been taken under the wing of not the Vulture, but the Iron Man.
The Iron Man, yes.
To be a good superhero.
Yeah, and also to try and get in good with his hot aunt.
Yes. And jokes ensue, and battles happen.
Yeah. Is there web slinging?
There's a decent amount.
Okay. So last week you told me
some
brief opinions.
What did I tell you?
You told me like it's pretty good. It's fun. Which is as like what the biggest Spider-Man fan I know is not what I expected.
Uh-oh.
So I really want to hear you go first on this review.
Okay. I liked it.
Okay.
But in many ways it was another superhero movie.
I see.
And I felt like the movie kind of was just dragging on halfway through it. I like the idea of Spider-Man. Like, I like this take that, you know, Spider-Man is a kid. He has high school life that they're dealing with. And he's definitely the, oh, check it out. I'm not really a superhero. I just have these powers. And you get to see, this movie is more about what he does when he's not in the suit versus what he does when he's in the suit.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool to see. But just the structure of the story and just the way it's put together, I found it to be very by the book.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the villain, you know, he's fueled by motives we have now been very familiar with all these movies.
All these one percenters, man.
Yeah. Jeez. Iron Man plays a very good cameo role, or mm-hmm. Tony Stark. He plays a good pseudo-father figure.
He plays say. Tony Stark.
Yeah. He plays the father that you know Tony to be, the one that's never there. and they play on that to great lengths. But yeah, I thought it was entertaining. Tom Holland as Spider-Man, I enjoyed. I thought he could be a little wittier. I thought he could be a little bit more fun.
Okay.
But I do think Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man for the current MCU.
Okay.
I feel
what,
like...
What about, like, for the age group he's portraying? Because, like, I always felt that Andrew Garfield Spider-Man was a little bit... He felt like an older Spider-Man.
So Tom Holland feels like I am a high schooler. Like, I just entered high school.
Yeah, and he grade did. 9.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield always felt like I'm at the end of high school.
Yeah.
Because I think even in the second movie, they talk about going to university and stuff, mm-hmm. right? And I felt like that fit his role. So for Tom Holland, yeah, I thought that it was fine. It reminded me a lot of the cartoon Ultimate Spider-Man, which probably... Yeah, I would say that's probably my favorite Spider-Man cartoon. And
okay.
He fits that role nicely.
Does that follow the comic book?
No.
No?
No, not at all. No, that's Ultimate. Sorry, Spectacular Spider-Man.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so Tom Holland, I thought he's a great fit for what the current MCU is, but he's not my favorite Spider-Man to be on the big screen.
Okay.
And the idea mm-hmm. of Spider-Man's suit being powered like Iron Man
mm-hmm.
and all his little gadgets, I could take it or leave it.
I think that was a very Tony Stark-influenced decision there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, would I have been happy if he didn't have it? Yeah. I probably would have been happier if he didn't have it.
Happier?
Happier, huh. Yeah. Like, I don't know. The idea that Peter is being guided by an AI system really got to me.
Okay.
Because I always felt like one of the draws of Spider-Man was that he was quick on his feet.
Mm.
And he could always think his way out of a situation. But he never got that from this movie. It was always, Karen, do this.
Or Karen, yeah, Karen, how do I do this?
Yeah, what are Karen, these? Do that. And I felt like that was a bit of a bummer. Yeah, so I thought that was fine. So yeah, the actual movie I thought was super okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I just thought it was another super movie. The thing I liked about this movie is what it represents and the ideas it presents to you. I think ever since these movies have started, these Marvel movies, I think like 10 years ago, you know, we've always been excited about an introduction of a new character,
mm-hmm.
and then we got super excited when the Avengers happened, and then we're now currently at the moment where we're getting excited for the wrap-up,
yeah.
Right? Homecoming represents, like, a changing of the guard, right? Spider-Man wants to be an Avenger, and he's part of a new cast of characters that... I think everyone kind of has this understanding that the Avengers, as we know it right now, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, are going to end.
Yeah.
Right? And there's going to be someone else to take their place.
Like, even meta knowledge, like Tony Stark,
Robert Downey.
Robert Downey Jr. himself has been quoted as saying multiple times as, like, I'm kind of done with the role, and I don't want to overstay my welcome.
Right, and both Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth are out of contract after these Avengers movies.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't said anything after that point.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we get, and even though they've been, like, slowly introducing other characters like Black Panther, and we're going to get, Miss Marvel, Spider-Man's the one that feels like, okay, no, things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spider-Man, his origin story is more about how he wants to become, how he wants to fill the role next. And I think that's super cool, because now it paints the Marvel Cinematic Universe as this thing that we've all come to know, grow with, love, and then we're going to wave goodbye to. And I guess, like, it would represent... what do they call it in comic books? Like when there's a certain time period, like there's the Golden Age, Silver Age.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
and like yeah. You know that like it's coming to a close, and this book ends that.
And it was like a big what was it, Crisis on Infinite Earth?
Yeah, and like that one thing. And this is the first movie that kind of like puts that into perspective, and I think it's really cool that they're showing you from the viewpoint of a hero in a similar role. Like Spider-Man views the Avengers as we, like you and me, Anthony, view the Avengers on the big screen. Like there's these cool
things. They're like these legends or these
heroes. And he sees it the same way, and I think it's just super cool that like that whole idea is happening, and as we go forward, you know, it's never going to be the same, and they're changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also relates to my feelings on this movie, in that I'm also kind of done with the MCU as well.
Really?
Like I am ready to wave goodbye.
So I don't think the MCU is going away.
No, but I think the MCU in its current form is like, okay. Like we're saying, like after the Avengers movies, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who's left, but I don't know if I want to continue anymore.
Like you think you're going to check out of superhero
I think
movies?
I am. Cause I realized that as I was watching Homecoming, as like, this Spider-Man's cool, but do I really care about seeing him, like the, what his future entails and this, and the stories that he's going to make beyond why I came to like the Avengers? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the answer was no. Like Tom Holland's fine, but I think I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because like this whole MCU was kind of like a right place, right time kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like Iron Man 1 came out and then they're like, hot damn, these movies can be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started putting money into it. It got really popular
yeah.
and all this stuff, right? So I wonder what like an MCU part 2 would look like with the knowledge or with like the funding from the get-go, right? Mm-hmm. Like they are writing these things to have this extended universe
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to shape it around older mm-hmm. movies where they didn't mm-hmm. have that idea,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Homecoming, pretty one note. I had some fun moments. It's very much a we made this in the year 2017.
Yes.
It is very, like, it fucking shocked me that Peter Parker is the only white person in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I trying? No, the teacher's a side character.
And you can't count Tony Stark.
He's not in it.
You can't count his aunt.
Yeah, I'll count her, his aunt. I'll count her. So I have to say that I'm kind of somewhat agree with you, but I think I like it more than you do.
Okay.
All right. So I still like is how you like the movie. I really like the movie.
Okay.
But I don't love the movie.
Yeah.
So I gotta kind of just mirror some of your points.
Yeah.
And I think the one part of the movie I really liked is, like you said, Tom Holland.
Yeah.
He is entry level high schooler, right?
Yeah.
There is a bunch of things in this movie where that reflect that. Like in the suit, it has the training wheels protocol or the babysitter protocol and stuff like that, right? Yeah. Where they just kind of like overtly make references to you're young, you still don't know stuff. Mm-hmm. The part I really liked about Tony Stark is I think Robert Downey Jr. portrayed kind of a more human side to his character than... You see it in his other movies, in his main Iron Man movies, but you don't see it that much, especially in the whole multiple universe, or the whole big universe movies, like the Avengers, and when he makes other cameos. And it's the fact that even though he's trying to be this father figure, like it sounds like he's reluctantly doing it, but when Peter Parker does something very well, like you kind of get this sense of like pride on his character's part. Like I think Robert Downey Jr. did a very good job at doing that.
Yeah.
But going back to Tom Holland, I think he's a fantastic Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think I like him better than Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like him better than Andrew Garfield.
That's how I feel. Yeah. I still think Andrew Garfield, like, in terms of who portrays the best, like, classic idea of Spider-Man, I still think Andrew Garfield nails it.
Okay. As for Karen...
Karen.
I also thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Just the fact that... Well, Spider-Man is supposed to have this spidey sense, right? Why would he need an AI to give him extra warnings and stuff? Especially, Do you want to get into spoilers of this movie?
I think we spoiled it already, telling them, the audience, that he's got fucking AI in his
suit. True. We did spoil it.
And the AI's name is Karen.
Yeah. So there's the one scene with the boat that's in the trailers.
Yeah. Right?
And he goes, Karen, give me every single strongest point on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, oh, you were like 98% successful because he missed one. But the thing is like, Spider-Man's spidey sense normally is like that be-all sensor thing, right? And he should be able to do that in slow motion without needing an AI. I can see Tony Stark doing that because he's basically Batman.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have superpowers. His superpowers is that he's super rich.
Yeah.
As Spider-Man, he should be able to see these things coming. He's nigh unhittable unless someone else of just faster speed or stronger strength comes at him, right?
Yeah.
Or just being more clever.
Yeah.
So that was... I didn't know how I felt. I liked the interactions with him and Karen, like the whole
scene.
When he just jumps into the roof of the truck and gets a concussion and he's like hanging out in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing. And there's a lot of good scenes where they kind of have the spirit of Spider-Man in there, like this witty character who has zero patience for anything and just kind of wants to do what he wants to do and kind of not wait for anyone else to tell him.
Right.
Right. I did like the friendship between him and his friend, Ned, the bigger Filipino guy.
Yeah.
And the man, I like calling him the man in the chair.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
You can really tell that this movie was made in the year 2017
mm-hmm.
through the amount of diversity through here. When you told me that Flash is not who you think he is.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be some like Indian / Pakistani dude.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Side tangent, I was watching Degrassi The Next Generation.
Yeah.
There was this Indian girl making fun of a white girl. And I was like, damn, it's 2017.
Shit. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing.
Oh, no. It's just, it's noticeable.
But it's, you can tell that they have purposely, I have never seen a school like this where... Where certain cultures and whatever mix with each other in such a like perfectly uniform way.
Yeah.
Right? Like we have one of each group and we're all the token whatever we are.
Yeah.
Right? In our group. Even at the end reveal, like, oh, my friends call me MJ.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're Mary? What the like this, they turn Mary Jane Watson into this kind of like punk rock alt girl.
Yeah.
And she's not like, she's not that redhead bombshell, right?
No.
So that was a little weird because that's more than a, so like, I think certain people I've read online have problems with the new Dark Tower movie.
Yeah.
Because Idris Elba plays the gunslinger.
Yeah.
And the gunslinger in the books is, I think he's white.
Yeah.
Right. And where Idris Elba still seems to be playing the same character.
Yeah.
They have completely changed MJ. Like, she is supposed to be this, I have confidence through my ass because I know I'm hot.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas this girl seems more just low-key, like, that alt-rock.
She seems like punk. A total weirdo.
Yeah, like a total weirdo. And she's supposed to play this iconic character who's...
So I was reading an article from the producer on that.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, she's not really Mary Jane.
Then why would they mention that in the movie?
They're like, it's this Easter eggs for the fans.
What?
And, like, because her name is Michelle Jones in the movie, right? And it's like, I bet they wanted to make that MJ, but they left, like, they left the safety net in the event that it backfires on them. Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know, but they lean into it so hard.
I know, right?
Like, even with her just things, like, she's always eyeing after Peter.
Yeah.
Right? You can kind of tell that original love interest, the cheerleader lady, like she was expendable from the word
from the get-go.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, you're not sticking around for this whole movie or like for this whole franchise. You're gone. I think the other thing I really liked about this movie was the Vulture.
Yeah.
Costume design, I think, was grade A. His whole kind of, underground, like, we're making these cool high-tech suits, but we're not professionals. Like, we don't have Tony Stark money.
Yeah.
So his costume had, like, a certain amount of grittiness to it, which I really liked. And his character as a whole, I think he played that archetype very well. I forget his name, but I know he was in Birdman.
Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton.
Batman?
Was he Batman as well?
He was the first Batman.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Keaton, I think he played this role very well, this archetype very well. It still doesn't negate the fact that this is something we've seen, like, even going back all the way to Iron Man 2, right? Who's that guy with the whips and the bird?
Whiplash?
Yeah, Whiplash. The guy with the whips, Whiplash. Yeah, even going all the way back to him, right? Look at this one percenter stealing my ideas and shit, so I'm going to wreck him. So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he pulled it off very well. Overall, I think it's a very good Spider-Man movie, and I did really like it, but it's not my favorite. Mm-hmm. I still think Amazing Spider-Man 2 is my favorite, the one with Jamie Foxx. Mm. But I do think he is a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
So, yeah, I still think, I don't like, I've never liked Tobey.
You never liked Tobey? Like, not even at the beginning?
No.
Not even when he's doing his little, like, trying to figure out how to shoot webs?
I never liked Tobey.
Okay.
I always hated Tobey.
I'm glad that they stuck with the... He doesn't shoot webs from his inside his body. Like, he makes the gels and stuff, and they show that. Yeah, Ned's cool. I mentioned that. Yeah, and just... Yeah, this is a movie where I feel like... You mentioned that it's kind of a stock superhero movie.
Yeah.
And I think that it doesn't maybe not cements it, but almost does. My point that Marvel movies are getting more lighthearted as... the MCU moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when a Spider-Man movie can't stand out as being the witty, jokey one, it kind of just stands out as being another Marvel movie, I think that says something.
Yeah, right? For sure.
So, yeah. I liked it. There's a lot to like about it, but there is also a lot of things in it where not only could they have been done better, but you can kind of tell they're trying to pander to a certain type of audience. Like, again, with the super overt diversity in that thing, where it's just super obvious. And real life does not work like that.
Yeah.
Like, even from personal experiences, someone who, like, kind of rarely hangs around people of my race, right? Like, everyone has their groups, and
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, nobody really works like that in real life.
Yeah, when I think the most unbelievable thing about this movie is that what's that club they're part of? Not Debate Club.
Decathlon.
Like, yeah, and Flash was in it.
Yeah,
and MJ, I was like, no freaking way. And the hot popular girl and Ned. And Peter.
Yeah, the guy who's supposed to be, like, this sports jock is also, like, grade A brainer.
Yeah, it's just like, no.
Yeah, there you got... Like, I understand, like, maybe this gets into a deeper conversation.
For sure.
But I understand the want to have representation in your movie. Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But there also becomes a point where your forced representation doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
When... The audience can tell that you're just wedging in these people to be like, look, diversity, right? And it doesn't make it look natural. I don't know. To me, I guess maybe that doesn't mean anything coming from me as a white male, but.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I thought it was weird.
And you're a minority, so that means something.
Yeah, the best part of this movie is the second after credit scene.
Oh, I think the scene that made me laugh the most wasn't even a Spider-Man scene. It was Captain America.
Yeah.
When he is in detention.
Oh, yeah.
And Captain America turns the chair backwards and sits down. I must have looked like a fucking lunatic in that theater. Because there's just this guy sitting by himself watching the movie, howling.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what the fuck? As soon as he turned that chair backwards, like, hey, kids, let me rap with you. But yeah, that stinger, that post-credit stinger.
Yeah, he talks about patience, and sometimes...
It just doesn't pay off. There's something so disappointing.
Oh my god.
Oh, that was really good.
I was dying, I was like, no fucking way.
They did it. They went for it. And oh.
Yeah.
There were some people in my theater who were mad about that. They're like, oh, they didn't show anything. Man. But, I mean, I loved it. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, so Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's cool.
It's a cool movie, definitely.
Cool. It was good.
Cool.
But not great.
Yeah.
It was good, but not amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Not even spectacular.
Not even spectacular. Wow. Just, it was good.
It was good.
But I think I liked it a little bit more than you.
Yeah, it was... you were like, it was good! Exclamation mark. I was like, good, period.
Good, period. It was good! It was good. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, that's
our new review scale. It was good. It was good. It was good!
It was good?
It was good?
Yeah, okay, I like that. There you go.
It was good!
Yeah, it was good. let's move on to picks of the week. I'll start things off since it was D23.
Yeah.
Disney, the big Disney show. They showed off apparently like 5 minutes of footage of the new Avengers. And I don't know. They didn't release this trailer to the public. Apparently the Guardians are in it.
What? No way!
Totally! But it's not like we didn't know that!
Did you see the thing coming out from James Gunn of like how everyone can understand each other?
No.
They made like a meta knowledge reason why like the Guardians can talk with Thor, or Thor can understand, or like Tony Stark can understand like aliens, right?
Oh.
Or why Rocket Raccoon can understand Groot, but not everybody else.
Oh.
Which is they have embedded translators in their necks, like under their skin.
That's some dumb ass bullshit.
Right. But while they have those translators, not everyone has the right program. So like that's why Rocket can understand Groot, but no one else can understand Groot. That's
so fucking dumb.
Right.
That's so dumb. I feel like I've seen that in like a child's cartoon.
Yeah.
In an anime.
Is it one of those Japanese animes?
In one of those Japanimations, my friend.
Okay.
You know, all the way from the Japan.
From, I think they call it the Nihon?
Yes, the Land of the Rising
the
Sun.
The Land of the Rising Sun, yes, yes. Of course.
Yeah, so they did that. There was a lot of Star Wars news, which is great. But let's get to the important part. Let's get to the important part. There's a new trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3.
The realest Disney franchise!
Yeah.
The realest Disney franchise.
Yes, yes. And it's all based around Toy Story.
So you like toys.
Mm-hmm.
And you like stories.
I do.
But I think you're kind of lukewarm on Kingdom Hearts.
No, I'm lukewarm on Toy Story.
Are you?
I actually don't really care about Toy Story.
Oh, I thought you really liked Toy Story.
No, that's probably... Like, I like Toy Story as much as I like Cars. And that is, I don't really care.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Hmm. I like A Bug's Life more than Toy Story.
What?
Yeah.
You're a fucking monster.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Oh, we're gonna get a Bug's Life level. Damn.
Yeah, so they showed off this new level with Sora, Donald, and Goofy, and the big thing is they turn into little toys.
Yeah. And they have the right amount, like, they have this, like, kind of weird right amount of sharp edges and joints to them and stuff that look really cool.
Yeah, they're made up
everything's
of,
mini.
They're made up of polygons.
Mm.
The big reveal from the gameplay trailer is that you no longer have to switch out Donald or Goofy for a guest party member.
Yeah, you just get guest party members.
Yeah, because that was the most annoying thing in Kingdom Hearts. Do I sacrifice my tank or my healer?
For someone who's all around garbage.
Yeah. So,
I don't know, except for Orin. Orin was kind of OP in that Hercules level 1 too.
That's true. You know what? I always switched out Goofy.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I always switched out Donald.
Because Donald could always heal.
Yeah, but I always healed myself.
That's true. That's true. That's true. I don't know. I did that. Because I think... Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what I did. Anyway, so what'd you think of this level?
It looked really cool. I like the way it was all stylized. I like that you can get outside of Andy's room. You were in the driveway and on the front lawn battling, like, almost Musou game, Dynasty Warriors game level of... Mm-hmm. of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing off all these crazy new powers. You got a kind of a taste of it in that 0.2 thing that came out recently.
Yeah.
I played that, but like nowhere near as crazy as everything that's going on here. You got like a drill fist, you got a new toy hammer, you're doing all these crazy special moves with them.
Yeah.
It seems like the combat has much more weapon variety, but it's also just like special move overload.
Yeah.
Right? I wonder how annoying seeing certain transformations will get when it's like your 20th time seeing it in one battle.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
But I did like the fact. So when we were watching the thing, I was like, who are they going to put give you as your sidekick? Are they going to give you Goofy? Or no, sorry, are they going to give you Woody? Or are they going to give you Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah.
They said, F it, you get both.
Yeah.
Which is the smart decision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the only thing better is if, like, Mr. Potato Head was, like, a useless third.
Oh, I would want Rex.
Oh, you want Rex just, like, running around shooting
Yeah,
people?
Or the Slinky Dog?
Slinky Dog would be cool. You could, like, tie up enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that level looked really good.
It did. It looked really cool.
They showed some more stuff when they got to the arcade. You can pilot mechas.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
They all had different enemies. All the enemies had different super moves, and it kind of turned into Titanfall for a second.
Mm.
Yeah, this game looks really, really good. I just want to see how they've improved gameplay. Because even though that 0.2 thing was like kind of new with the different types of moves you could do, at its core it's still Kingdom Hearts, and Kingdom Hearts combat is clunky.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of game Pele where whenever I face the optional bosses, the guys are like super hard, like your Sephiroths or your Clouds or your Organization 13s.
Yeah,
I felt like they had like the AI had much more mobility, and the difficulty was the fact that the combat is clunky and not that the fact that it's hard, right? Like, I could see moves coming from a mile away, but, like, going through all those menus manually is such a pain in the ass, right? There's a difference between, that difficulty and, like, Devil May Cry 3 being hard, where you have all the tools at your disposal, but you're not using them correctly.
Right. Yeah. The thing that got me was how small the UI is now.
Yeah, man.
Like, I know, because I keep thinking back to Kingdom Hearts 1, where, like, the UI was huge, but then in this video, it's like, oh, they're really little.
Yeah.
Yeah. The director, Tetsuya Nomura, we all know.
Oh, the man of many zippers.
Yes, yes. he was asked, why is development on this game taking so long? Because they have a release date here, 2018.
It's not a release date, that's a release window.
Yeah. And he said, it's not my fault. It's the decisions made by the guys in the suits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says.
He called them out on it?
He says that at some point, halfway through development, the suits want them to switch to Unreal 4. And
I guess that would do it.
And we had a personnel shortage, and we basically had to rebuild the game on that engine.
Oh, they had to rebuild a whole engine from scratch. That's a...
Or rebuild the game on that, or adapt the game of what they had to that engine.
That's a pain in the ass.
Now, that definitely sounds noteworthy.
Yeah.
But, Nomura, your past 5 games have also had extreme delays, so I just don't believe you.
Also, you are backed by not only Square Enix,
yeah,
but you are backed by the company whose motto for business is throw money at it until it works.
Yeah.
So when I hear that, like, you're short staffed, like it's kind of be like, did you ask Disney maybe for some more staff? Like, because they just take money, wad it up in a ball, and throw it away.
Yeah. So there you go. That was the news. But yeah, it looks like Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Other news, smaller bits from D23. Hey, guess what?
What?
The live action Aladdin finally has a full cast.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to know who plays Aladdin, that's for sure.
Is some no-name?
Yeah.
Because I heard they couldn't find someone to play Aladdin, and then they gave people options. They could vote or something?
They did an open casting call. Anyone could apply.
Oh, cool.
Because they were so the movie was supposed to start filming in June. But they couldn't find an Aladdin.
So they just said, F it, like, open it up.
So they finally found it, and now they have one, so they're going to start filming in August. So no one knows who he is, but whatever. I mean, like, the name's out there, but you won't know who he is.
Okay.
Will Smith is a genie.
Okay, I could see that.
I mean, it's fine. It's cool. The Jasmine, I thought, was very inspired. It is the Pink Ranger from the recent Power Rangers movie.
Oh, okay.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was not my first choice, but I could see why they picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool.
But real question, does she have a size -5 waist? Because Jasmine's waist in that animated movie, you could fit your thumb and index finger around that.
It's amazing what the power of CG can do. And my final bit from D23 is Disney announced... Have you seen Westworld?
I've heard of Westworld.
You know what Westworld's about?
I think it's about, like, it's a Western thing, but it's not a Western thing. It's like rich people pay
to go to this theme
park. To go to this theme park and kill people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, with all, like, everyone's an actor in a, in 100, they're always in the role.
Yeah.
Disney announced a Star Wars version of Westworld.
Weird.
So.
Star World.
Pretty much. Basically, you're going to go to one of their parks, and it's just fucking Tatooine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I can go there. Yeah. Like, it's not a TV show.
No, no, you can go.
Is there, like, is someone, like, some alien going to spit in my face when I order a drink? Is the Cantina band always playing the one song?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's actually Tatooine where you're going to go, but it's something that you all Star Wars fans will like, so.
I think you're just, like, reading ad copy at this point. It's a one-stop shop for all your Star Wars needs.
Okay, I have a couple small video game announcements I want to give to you. So, you like video games.
I do like video games.
And you like them physical copies.
I do like physical
copies. So, you're going to buy your copy of Undertale, the physical copy.
Probably.
All right, because they got announced. And it
was. That got announced at E3.
E3?
Yeah. The Fangamer exclusive?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, with the locket?
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be available August 15th, right?
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Are pre-orders up?
Yeah, that's it. They went up today.
Oh, shit. Maybe I'll actually play Undertale.
Let's talk about the big gaming news, though.
Okay.
Atari.
Oh, did they reveal their console?
They offer their first look at the Atari box.
Ooh. Oh, is it just the fucking, like, flash box with all the Atari games on it? Like, what was it, those Atari retro flashback things?
I want to tell you that's what it is, but honestly, they just showed a picture of the console.
All right, let's see it.
You want to see it?
I do want to see it. That's why I'm asking you.
That's it.
What?
Scroll for the other color. Tell me what you think.
That one looks weird.
The red one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to describe this picture to people. It looks like a modern-day Android box, but they just put wood grain on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? It looks like a very thin Roku box.
Yep.
That's a cool pen. But the red one looks more modern. But when you see that Atari logo, like, there's something about the Atari logo that I don't think you can ever modernize. Yeah. Like, that is a logo design from that era. Yeah,
it's from the 80s.
Right? So that looks really weird on that secondary color. Like, if I were to get one, it'd probably be the wood grain.
Nah, man, with the red one.
You got red everything. That's your life. That's who you is.
Yeah, that's right? True.
You gotta be true to yourself.
Yeah.
But have they announced anything other than what the box looks like?
No.
Because from that looks like an all-digital platform. Unless they got, like, a slot for, like, Switch-esque carts.
All they told you is that there's a couple HDMI ports on the back.
A couple?
I think so. I skimmed the article.
Huh.
I didn't really read it, to be honest. So there you go. That's the Atari box.
That's weird.
Yeah, and those were all my picks.
I don't know. Oh, what's that box going to be?
It's a new console.
But is it worth my money?
Yep. Let me tell you about the Ouya.
Oh, I almost bought an Ouya. Okay, so my pick is pretty much all Evo related.
Evo
happened over the weekend. I almost forgot that it happened over the weekend. I was reminded. But a bunch of announcements came out. So, first announcement. Evo Japan 2018, they had their little trailer, and it's super official, super ultra official. It's going to take place in Tokyo, January 26th to 28th, and they will be playing titles. I don't know if this is the final lineup, but...
I'm sure it's subject to change.
Subject to change, but so far the titles they have announced are Tekken 7, Guilty Gear, Xrd 2 or whatever. King of Fighters 14, which I'm happy to see there. Blaze Blue Central Fiction, Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U, and then probably some other stuff. Like, I'm sure Dragon Ball Z Fighters will be in there by then.
They announced ARMS.
Oh, yes. Also ARMS, which I believe is actually doing pretty good in Japan. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just so excited to see King of Fighters 14. That was my favorite fighting game last year. And it made it into, like, I think it was, like, the top five my favorite games last year. Mm-hmm. I really like that game. Okay. No, it was number 10.
Yes, that's the one you opened with.
Yeah, that's the one I opened with. After that, they announced a new Tekken 7 DLC character.
Yeah.
Also from King of Fighters, Geese Howard.
Yeah.
He is, for people who don't know, he is the final boss character from a lot of the King of Fighter games. He yells double Rapuken. He is Rock's father.
Yeah.
Rock's real father.
Yeah.
Even though Rock was raised by Terry. And he...
Terry Bogard.
Yeah. Rising Tekker. Crack shit. I love... Oh, bad English is so good. So they show him. He is countering people left and right. He's doing double Rapukens. He looks like Geese Howard, man, and he looks out of place in a Tekken game.
I always feel so sorry when Tekken games get their crossover characters, because Tekken is, like, on the totem pole of who is the strongest roster of fighters, Tekken is at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, Tekken, like, Soul Calibur crushes them, and everybody crushes Tekken.
Well, Soul Calibur's cheating, because it takes the strongest fighters from all times and places and brings them into one area, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, SNK fighters are always ridiculous. Like, they're, some of the bosses are borderline gods.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 is uppercutting waterfalls.
Yeah.
Blaze Blue's just anime. Yeah.
Like, maybe Virtua Fighter is toe-on-toe in terms of...
I could see that. Like, Virtua Fighter and Tekken are kind of more based in reality.
Yeah.
Even though Tekken does have the cooler thing of throwing family members into a volcano. Yeah,
they have the Dark Hado.
Yeah. Devil Jin. Mm. So, yeah, that's it looks really cool. He looks like he plays like Geese Howard. He's got all of his moves in there.
Yeah.
Street Fighter V revealed their new DLC character in their Season 2 lineup, which is all original characters.
Mm.
And this is Abigail.
Abigail!
He is pretty much Hugo with a new character skin. He is takes up the whole screen. He's fucking huge. And I believe he is a Streets of Final Fight either enemy or boss. His character model looks very familiar. But he is a walking meathead. He's a dumb meathead, just like Hugo. He's super top heavy. He looks weird.
Yeah.
He skips legs day all the time.
Hey, but he don't need it.
Yeah, he's a grappler that uses super armor.
Yeah.
So there's not much more to be said about that.
He goes red.
He does go red. Dragon Ball Fighters Z.
Yeah.
This is probably the realest announcement out of Evo.
Yeah.
They confirmed Future Trunks.
Now my boy's there.
He's got a sword. He is doing his extra jutsu hand motions
to shoot explosions. He puts those Naruto characters to shame.
Yeah, he's so fast, right?
Yeah.
He's looking really cool.
Yeah.
Every time I see that game still, I'm just amazed at how good it looks.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Marvel's Capcom Infinite has revealed Jedha. So this one's a little more obscure. Jedha is a Darkstalkers character, which I think the last game he was in, like a fighting game, was, I want to say, like Capcom Fighting Evolution for the PlayStation 2. And then, like, non-fighting game, he was in those, what were those Namco crossover games? Like, Project Cross Zone.
Mm.
He was in those Project Cross Zone games as, like, a character.
Yeah, I do remember seeing him in those,
yeah. So Jedha is normally, in Darkstalker, he's kind of like a big bad. But also, he's very, like, his character design is very unsettling, right? He is a demon, and his character design is very gory. So when he goes for, like, long punches or, like, kind of, like, Dhalsim-style punches, his arm doesn't stretch. His arm, like, separates at a point, and you see, like, bone and muscle tissue stretch out, and then it comes back. There are certain attacks where he'll, like, slit his wrists or, like, cut his throat, and then his blood attacks you as, like, blood scythes and stuff. But they seem to have toned it down a lot. They kind of replaced all the blood with purple magic energy. Right?
Okay.
Right. If you remember Ninja Gaiden 2, remember for the Xbox? Like, that was super bloody. And,
yeah.
Right? And then they came out with Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma for the PS3.
Yeah, even
and
bloodier.
They replaced it. No, it wasn't. They replaced it all with, like, purple.
Oh, I must be thinking 3.
Yeah, 3 is super bloody, just like ropes of jelly flying from people. But 2, they replaced it with, like, When you cut like the fiends and stuff, it's like blue fire comes out of their limbs instead of any blood.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that, which is a little disappointing, but it's a Marvel game. I don't think they would let Jedha in his full form be in that game if they have to share the Marvel license.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. Blaze Blue released a new character. Finally, the final of the six legendary heroes has been released as a play, or is going to be released as a playable character. I already forget his name. He is the legendary cat guy.
Yeah.
Jubei. I think Jubei is his name? Jinbei? No, that's a One Piece character.
No, it's Jubei.
Is it Jubei?
Jubei.
Okay. So, yeah, he's a legendary hero. He's helped start the whole Blaze Blue universe.
He's the swordsman.
Yeah, he's the swordsman. He's got a sheath that holds two swords, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Yeah,
he's also a cat.
Yeah.
I think the only time he's ever appeared outside of the story is during this one character, Taokaka, in her final, in her like astral finish,
mm-hmm.
her like one hit KO move. He appears in that move. So it'll be pretty cool to finally see what he plays, because I know people have wanted him as a playable character since like the first game. So
does that series have some sort of like anime or manga?
Like a through line, you mean? Or just like something you can catch up on?
Yeah.
I think it got a movie, or I want to say it got something animated. I don't know if it's a TV show, maybe it's a movie.
I really want to know about that world. I don't want to play the games.
Yeah. Also, like, every single game, the story is continuing.
Yeah.
So you know how there's like Calamity Trigger, and then there's Continuum Shift and Continuum Shift Extend?
Yeah.
Like, Continuum Shift and Continuum Shift Extend have different stories.
Oh.
Like, it continues.
Oh.
It extends the story.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. This is, okay, Calamity Trigger, Continuum Shift, Continuum Shift Extend. I forget the other two. Then Central Fiction.
And then Concentrification?
No, I think this is the latest one. Oh. Central Fiction is the latest one.
Oh, okay. Speaking of which, whatever happened to Soul Bad Guy?
Soul Bad Guy is Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is he at?
He's in Guilty Gear, man. I think that you would like the Guilty Gear story mode.
Probably.
Because you know why?
Why?
It's just an anime.
Yeah, I know.
There's no fights. It's so cool. You just see this sick, like, half an hour, 45 minute anime play out in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. All
right.
And then after Blaze Blue, obviously, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Trunks, roll over.
Because
Skullomania is back in town,
right,
baby.
Right.
That Eureka game that we thought was an April Fool's joke is a real game.
Boy, does it look like a real game.
And that game is so weird because it looks really nice graphically, but the animations are such that they look like that PS2 fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, they're really choppy and blocky in a way that is just really accurate, for better or worse.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of, like, Saturn-level Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm kind of down, man. I'm kind of loving it.
All right.
So, yeah, Skullomania is back.
Yeah, does all his Kamen Rider moves.
Yeah, he's Skullo Dive, Skullo Burst, all the Skullos. And then I think he's a new character. I don't remember if maybe he was an unlockable character in the old EX games. But he's like a Baron, something Baron.
He looks so familiar. I don't know why.
But he is, he's a grappler. He's Zangief. He's chucking people up into the air, but he's got Voldo's crotch thrust just popping up people like 100 feet with his dick.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. That was that. And then the final announcement was a new Blaze Blue game.
Uh-oh.
Not in the way you're thinking. It is a Blaze Blue crossover game called Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle.
Yeah.
It will have Blaze Blue characters. It will have Under Night in Birth characters.
Mm.
And it will have Persona 4 Arena characters.
Mm.
All crossed over with special edition Ruby. From that internet show, Ruby, which I didn't realize was super popular in Japan, apparently.
Wow.
At least with, like, the kind of, like, otaku audience.
Well, you know what? I guess that makes sense, because it's, like, part of that doujin crowd. Yeah,
it has a Japanese dub.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, the doujin crowd loves it. And this is what this game seems like. It seems like it's
Yo, crazy. Yo, this is the ship game.
Yeah, this is the ship game. I'm going to ship all my characters in the Arc Systems universe.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty cool. Seeing you, Narukami, team up with Ragna, Zublood, Edge.
Yeah.
Looked pretty great.
Yeah.
I'm kind of down.
Cool.
There was another fighting game, I think, that was announced outside of Evo. I think it's also by Arc System. But it's got the Code Princess characters mixed in with someone else. I'll look it up, but those are all the Evo announcements.
Yeah, that's it for Evo. Any highlights from Evo that you want to talk about? I heard someone came all the way back from Loser's Bracket and then won was it Street Fighter?
Sure.
Okay.
I started watching the Street Fighter finals.
Yeah.
And that went kind of long.
Yeah.
So I had to go to sleep for work, but it's funny because it seems like the only finals I watched was the one that of the game I care the least for, which is Smash Bros. Right? And I was like, yeah, this is like a party game, whatever, fuck this. Oh yeah, here it is. So the game is called Blade Strangers, and it is a crossover story between Code of Princess and Cave Story.
Oh, now that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so Curly from Cave Story is in it, and Solange from Code of Princess is in it. Apparently, it combines, like, kind of Guilty Gear-style combat with some more...
How big is Arc System Works? They're making, like, all the fighting games.
The thing is, yeah, like, yo, fucking move over Capcom. Arc System Works is back with a fucking vengeance.
Yeah.
Right? Now all I'm waiting for is... Because SNK came back with King of Fighters.
Oh, and
there's a rumor that they're going to make a new Samurai Showdown.
Yeah.
I really want SNK to come back. I think SNK has crazy good properties that they can leverage and bring back.
Yep.
But, yo, Arc Systems is fucking killing it. And this kind of shows my favorite, like, back to PS2 era fighting games, or crossover games were fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Crossover games are getting weird again.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. What was the last time, and when was the last SNK versus Capcom?
PS2. SNK versus Capcom 2.
Oh, that was the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
PS2, Xbox One. I think it was like, SNK versus Capcom EO for the Xbox.
Yeah. Wow.
It's been a long time.
Sure has, wow.
Yo, all I'm saying, Capcom, you know, Capcom needs to do.
What?
Bring back rival schools.
Whoa, that's the best one.
Yeah, that'll bring back the money.
Damn, we'll talk about some shitty animations. Fuck.
Yo, whatever. Those animations are great.
You know, that was my most played fighting game growing up.
That's a good choice, man.
You know why?
Why?
Because I played the mini games.
Oh, did you? No, also a good choice.
I never played the fighting.
No, that's fair. The mini games in that game were good.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay. Those are my picks.
Sick. Let's move into our weeks. I'll kick it off. I caught up on an anime. If you remember last year, we did the anime summer anime
special extravaganza video podcast.
What did we actually call it?
Anime Club.
Yeah.
We called it Summer Anime Club.
Your pick was My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
It was one season, 12 episodes, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
We watched it. We loved it.
It's fantastic. I even read ahead.
Yeah. And then this past spring was season 2.
I believe you're like, hey, Anthony, let's do part 2 of My Hero Academia. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm down. I've read.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like,
I've read ahead already.
Yeah, and I was like,
oh, fuck.
And I was like, fuck this. So I didn't end up watching it until last week.
Oh, wow. Last week you caught up.
Yeah. Well, I only have to go through 12 episodes.
Okay.
Because the second season is actually, I think, 25 episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's still going. So I caught up to current. Show's pretty good.
That show's really good.
It's still pretty good.
The fighting tournament arc is fantastic.
It is. It's real fun. It's fun watching Deku have to go through that fighting tournament while he has to save all his powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he uses it all at once. Mm-hmm. Like a boss.
Like a boss ass bitch, yeah.
Yeah. Not Urahara.
The girl, the gravity girl? I think that's her name.
Urahara?
Yeah.
That's her name?
Urahara. Or is that the guy from Bleach?
That's the guy from Bleach.
Yeah, that's the guy from Bleach with the hat.
Yeah, that's Urahara.
Okay.
She's like Utura. I'll call her Uravity girl.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what she wanted to call herself, Uravity.
Sure.
Anyways, She, her fight with Bakugo was great, because she made, she put up a fun little fight.
She tried so hard and got so far. Oh, man,
but she got wrecked so good.
But in the end, yeah. Doesn't even
She got so wrecked. Watching Bakugo wreck face on everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love Bakugo's character, because you think, like, he is the he is the Sasuke archetype. I am super good at what I do, but I'm a little shit.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody to tell me I'm a little shit, or else I'm going to get mad.
Yeah.
Right? And he is the perfect character to turn heel.
Yeah.
Right? And then there is the duality between Deku and thing. But no matter how dumb or evil or kind of little messed up Bakugo he seems, he is still a good guy. Yeah. And I love that little, like, anti-hero personality in that crew.
Yeah. He's totally, like, he is totally chaotic good.
Yeah.
But what I really love about the fighting tournament arc is, because through the first season, he just seems like a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
But in the tournament arc, you see that he's pretty genius level 2. He learns and he applies, like, what's worked against him against other people, and uses it to great effect. And it's just like, wow.
He is a strategy genius that does not care about basically himself.
Yeah.
Right? He will go full frontal, like, the way I'm going to beat you isn't by some shitty roundabout way.
Yeah.
It is, I'm going to figure out a way to fucking punch you in the face.
Yeah. He's like, if you put up a shield, my goal is to crack the shield.
Yeah, it's not get around that shield. No. I will get through that shield.
Yeah. It's just so that he can mentally defeat you.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, but he's so much fun. Half and half is fun, especially when you get to know more about his past and whatnot.
His past is surprisingly sad. Like, his mom hates him. And
but he just wants to love his mom.
That's why he only uses the ice powers.
Yeah, but then Deku's like, nah, you're disrespecting me. He's like, fine, let's go all out.
Yeah.
But then he fights Bakugo.
He's like, you're disrespecting yourself.
Yeah. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
And then it's at the point now where Deku can unlock 5%
without damage,
without hurting himself. Yeah. So, and he has a trainer. I forget his name.
Gran Torino. Gran Torino is such a fun character. Like, even going forward from where you are, I like that character a lot as a mentor, and not only as a mentor, because he's also All Might's mentor, right? But just as a hero, he's really cool. You get to see him later on do some cool shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's mostly what I did in my off time.
You watch any more of the anime season? Have you picked anything out? Maybe.
No, I haven't even looked.
Just hot nothing.
I don't know. I should check it out, because I still haven't seen things in the spring season.
Okay.
So it's all on my to watch list.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
My week, I watched some bad movies.
Surprise, surprise.
Do you want to start with the bad movie I haven't seen before, or the bad movie that I have seen
before? The one you haven't seen before.
The one I haven't seen before is I watched Divergent.
Oh, my.
I don't know why I watched Divergent.
As someone who likes, like, awful teen movies,
yeah,
that's probably the worst of them all.
It's really fucking bad.
Yeah.
So the movie starts out, I forget her name, but she was in The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
And she is a character, she's a teen. She lives in a world where at a certain age, everybody takes a personality quiz. Like, imagine if you took an internet personality quiz, but then it turned out to be reality, right? You had to choose which camp of personalities you want to live in for the rest of your life.
That sounds awful.
Right? There is the pretty much the martyrs.
Yeah.
Right? They are the good. They run the government. They are neutral good.
Yeah.
Right? There is the geniuses, the science people, the accountants, right? Mm-hmm. That sort of crew, the logic section. There is the bravery section, where they're like the police and stuff. And there's a whole bunch of other sections. So our main character always has looked up to the brave section, the police section, because they're living free. They're jumping. They're running around doing parkour. None of them own sleeves. They're just, they're free, you know? And she just wants to be free because she's tired of sacrificing herself for the greater good.
Ah.
But what happens is that she takes her personality quiz.
And she lies.
She doesn't lie. It turns out she is special.
Oh, no.
She is the one.
No.
She is...
Jesus.
Divergent.
Oh, no.
No. She is everything, and she is nothing.
Oh, no.
Right? She is a unique person.
Oh, she's a snowflake.
She is a snowflake. 100%. And she is told to, hey, listen. I'm not, someone on the brave side took her test, and she's like, I'm not going to tell anybody, because if they figure out you're divergent, they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. And so she has the choice of what crew she wants to join, and she joins the brave side. And from there, it turns out that she chose the worst side, because they are pretty much detectives, and they're going to figure out she's divergent, and they're going to try and murder her.
Yeah.
Right? And a whole plot happens and stuff, but hot damn. This girl is not a good actor.
Oh.
She is very bad. The only time that she was good in this movie is when she had to play the part of a bad liar. Right? Which, I guess technically, she played that part bad because she wasn't acting.
Wow.
Right?
That's cruel.
It's super cruel, but she is not good. She is a bad actress.
Shailene Woodley.
That's her name. Shailene Woodley. So I watched Fault in Our Stars with her. I watched this Divergent movie. I've watched White Bird in a Snowstorm. White Something in a Blizzard.
White Bird in a Blizzard.
White Bird in a Blizzard. She's bad in that movie. What else has she been in? Maybe I'll watch some more.
Nine Kisses.
Nope.
Snowden.
Nope.
The Descendants.
No. Okay. So I watched three of her movies. Mm-hmm. She's not good. She's not a good actor. They tried to make her the new teen idol, but I think they need to give up.
Well, she rose to fame because of her teen idol show.
What was her teen idol show?
The Secret Life of a Teenager. Of an American teenager.
Oh my god. She has the same, like, face and reactions in every single one of her movies. It's crazy.
Okay.
It's not a good movie. Don't watch it.
It's
painfully teen drama. And even for teen drama, like, I'm all for that kind of a genre. Because, like, there's a time and place where you can enjoy that.
Sure.
But there are just better options.
Yes.
Just don't watch it.
Okay.
I do have to say, though, my one friend did actually like the movie.
Mm.
So for his birthday, he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Good.
For his birthday, we bought him all three of the Divergent series movies on 4K Blu-ray.
Wow.
Which I think for his birthday hangout, he wants to watch the other two movies. So I'm probably going to finish the franchise. And I'll report back at how bad it is.
See, that was your mistake.
That was my mistake.
That was your mistake.
That was my mistake.
Yep.
The other bad movie, this is more bad in a... Oh, this is hilariously bad, and it's still fun because it's bad, which is Street Fighter the movie, 1993, I think. Mm-hmm. Jean-Claude Van Damme, Kylie Minogue.
Mm-hmm.
They get nothing about Street Fighter, right? They get absolutely nothing. They had made an action movie script, and they said, fuck it. Take all these names and switch them with Street Fighter characters. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays Guile. M. Bison has started his own little, like, North Korea in Shadaloo. And he asked for, was it $10 billion in 1993 money? Right, to release certain hostages or else they'll start to take over the world and all this stuff. This is a movie I don't want to talk about too often or too much because I think it should be experienced.
No, people should watch it.
People should watch this movie. Like, go into it knowing that it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
But it is a hilariously bad movie. It is, if you know the Street Fighter lore in any way, you can point out how fucking terrible they represent these characters. And just, like, the amount of, like, separate story. It's like they've written two or three separate movies and jammed them all into one thing, right? You have Ryu and Ken doing their own thing. You have Chun-Li and Hawaiian E. Honda doing his own thing. You have Guile's team doing his own thing. And even though they're technically in the same story,
yeah,
nothing ever meshes together. It's like they all just trip over each other until they defeat the big bad.
Nice.
It's so good.
Is it better or worse than The Legend of Chun-Li? Oh.
How are we defining better?
Oh, entertainment value.
Entertainment value? I think it's better than The Legend of Chun-Li. There was a point. The end credits revealed something that made us fall to the floor in uncontrollable laughter.
Mm.
There is a character. So there are two characters who are in this movie.
Yeah.
T-Hawk and Dhalsim.
Yeah.
Where I challenge the watchers of this movie, if you have never seen it before, to try and guess who Dhalsim and T-Hawk are in this movie. And when they are revealed in the end credits who they are, and like we double checked on IMDb, it is baffling how they would be represented as those characters. It is in fucking sane. It's a great watch. Yeah,
it's okay.
I think the only other time that I laugh so hard at a moment in like one of these like fighting game movies is when I watch the King of Fighters movie, and Kyo, who in King of Fighters is a Japanese guy, is portrayed by a white guy, right? But the white guy has a flashback to his training as a kid.
Mm.
And when he has this flashback in the movie, when he is a child, he is Asian. So back when this white boy was a young Asian boy learning his martial art.
And Michael Jackson.
Yeah, pretty much. Like Michael Jackson, but from instead of black to white, he went from Asian to white.
Wow.
So it was pretty impressive. It's a bad movie, but I recommend it to anybody who knows anything about Street Fighter.
All right,
then. It's fucking hilarious. And on that note, because I knew we were going to watch that movie, I was out game hunting one day.
Yeah.
And I found Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
Did you buy it?
I did buy it.
Wow, that's awful.
Yeah, ask me how much I spent on it.
How much did you spend on this game?
Yes.
$12?
$45.
Oh, why?
Because it is surprisingly rare. This version I got is the PS2 long box, like the original, or sorry, PS1 long
boxes. Okay, I was going to say PS2.
And wow. The PS1 long boxes, those original kind of first run stuff. But it's still a good price, because on eBay, like sold prices, that shit's going for like 70 Canadian.
Okay.
So I got a pretty good deal. That game is also hilariously bad. It is like digitized versions of all the actors. So think like old Mortal Kombat's, where it's like people playing those characters and like having those looped animations, but it's Street Fighter. So Jean-Claude Van Damme is doing flash kicks. Hawaiian E. Honda is doing whatever. Chun-Li is doing her very terrible like lightning legs.
Wow.
It's almost Street Fighter, but not quite. And it's also hilariously bad.
Sounds exciting.
That one I can't recommend as much that you seek out and buy just because of how expensive it is.
Okay.
Maybe download a ROM.
All right.
But it's something. It's a special something.
Hmm.
And then the rest of my week has been building and buying a PC.
Yeah.
So I've been saving up for a while now, and most of last week was me finalizing parts for my build and ordering them and then building the PC.
Yep.
So I went all fucking out on this PC. Yep. I got a full tower, which for people who don't know is huge.
Yeah.
It is the biggest case you can get without going like straight custom and like getting something crazy. I got a 1080. I got a GTX 1080.
Mm-hmm.
I got 14 or 16 gigs of DDR4 RAM.
Oh, you didn't go for 5?
Do they have 5? DDR5? Yeah. I'm not sure. I think they only have DDR4.
Okay.
So I got lower end DDR4. I pretty much have one of the strongest, I think the strongest i7 out.
At the moment,
The processor. Yeah. It's the i7-7700K.
Mm-hmm.
K stands for Krabby Lake Technology or something. I think that's what it's called.
Fucking love technology
code. Technology code names are hilarious.
So dumb.
Crabby late. So as I was buying this computer, Intel announced their i9 series.
Yeah.
Which is 10 cores.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Right? I did not go there because that processor is about $1,800.
Whoa.
So I did not do that.
That's bleeding edge.
It's the bleedingest of edges.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, so my processor stock is like 4.2 gigahertz, which is dumb fast. And I can overclock it. I have CPU liquid cooling. Like, I installed a radiator. Like, they have these all-in-one liquid cooling systems now for that.
Yeah.
And I got a Asus Maxis 9 Hero motherboard. Again, tech names. Ridiculous.
Mm.
And my case is a Corsair 1080T.
Yep.
It's huge.
It's a big one.
It's massive. So, stuff I have learned from building a PC is technology has changed a buttload. So, I called in one of my friends, and it took about, I want to say start to finish, with breaks, like having lunch and going out for stuff, probably around 4 to 5 hours to build this computer.
Yeah.
We made some rookie mistakes. Like so what we wanted to do is before putting the motherboard in the case, we wanted to make sure everything posted.
Yeah.
So we put everything in the board. We made sure that the BIOS recognized everything and everything was working. And for some reason we couldn't figure it out. It was a good like 30 minutes. Like nothing, like the motherboard's on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not displaying any errors. RAM's going, whatever. But nothing's displaying on our TV.
Yeah.
And we're like, it must be the cord, it must be the monitor, oh my gosh, what's happening? And we just didn't power the CPU. Like, we forgot to connect the power cable from the SATA.
You forgot to do the plug and play?
Yeah, the plug and play. We forgot to do that. And so, yeah, then we posted it, and then we did a bunch of other stuff, like a lot of wire management took a while.
Yeah.
I learned that my motherboard only has what's called a USB header. It only has one of them. So USB headers, think of them as internal USB ports.
Yeah.
They don't look like USB ports, but there's a certain set of pins that you would plug something into, like a USB port. And these things are for extra features that you want. So say you have what I bought is a wireless card.
Yeah.
For my PC, right? But if my wireless card has Bluetooth.
Yeah.
But if I want Bluetooth to unlock it, I have to connect it into my USB header.
Yeah.
But also, I have my liquid cooler, and if I want to have the advanced stats and stuff for my liquid cooler, I need to plug it into a header.
You only have one slot.
I only have one slot.
Yeah.
And I have three things I need to plug into a USB header. So I bought they have a USB header hub.
Mm. How many extra spots now?
Three.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. So that worked out pretty well. But yeah, building a PC was really fun. I forgot really minor things, like how much kind of stuff you have to go through to set up a PC.
Mm-hmm.
Where even though I did save a lot of money, I can totally see, it makes me appreciate, like, say for a gaming person, a console, just you plug it in, turn it on, and it goes.
Yeah.
Right. I can totally understand the appeal, and I can see why PC gaming, even though technically it is better, why it isn't as popular, because the barrier to entry is too high. Looking at a motherboard is stressful, right? And just even things like, if you don't drop your processor in right, like, you can just totally ruin this, like, $500 piece of thing that you, and there's no returning back from that, from a bent pin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think building this computer is one of the most stressful things I've done in a long time.
Okay. Wow.
it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
But it, at the end, the payoff was really good. This PC is blazing fucking fast.
Mm.
I got some SSDs in there. I finally know the speed of SSDs. Loading times are non-existent.
You're with the rest of the world.
Yeah, loading times are non-existent.
Yeah.
Where it would take me anywhere from a couple minutes to maybe a minute to 2 minutes to load a League game. Yeah. It is now almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
Games where I could only run them in windowed, like, 800 by 600 on lowest settings, everything.
Yeah.
I can now run at full 1080p
mm-hmm.
max settings, and I'm getting like 300 frames a second. It's ridiculous. It's a powerful enough PC where I don't know if I have a PC game that's kind of intensive enough to really put it through its paces.
I think what you need is a monitor.
Yes. So I've been looking into monitors. What I want to get is a 144 hertz, like 1 millisecond monitor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 140. Is it 1440p? Is a step up from 1080?
Yeah, 14. Yeah, it's like 250 something by 1440.
1440, yeah. And it's 144 hertz. Yeah. So I'm looking into those monitors. Those things are like $500 right now.
Yeah. So what size? It's like 24.
Yeah, 24 yeah. around there. So I'm waiting for something to go down in price.
Yeah.
Right now, I had to buy a display port to VGA.
Yeah.
Because the monitors I have are VGA. Mm. So I went from Future Tech to hot old analog. That's so crazy. I know, right? The cable itself has a mini converter inside it to process the digital and then bring it back to analog.
Yeah.
So I'm still getting 1080p out of my monitor, or I will get 1080p out of my monitor, but it's not that 1 millisecond. It's not that pro gamer stuff. Right?
So you built this for League, right?
No. I built this because, well, like, again, I got a new job and I had the expendable cash, and I've always wanted just like a good PC.
Yeah.
And right now, me and my friend were talking about this. This PC will last longer than, say, a PC. Say you built them in the 90s. Around the mid-90s, it was pretty much you built a PC for like $2,000. 6 months later, that PC was obsolete.
Yeah.
Just because technology was so fast. And there is a thing called Moore's Law.
Yeah.
I think the gist of it is that like stuff in computing will only increase in the way the more transistors and resistors and stuff you can put in capacitors you can put on the board.
Yeah.
And those things have become so small that they can't get really any more on there. So now they're using different technologies like layering to use 3D space instead of 2D space.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've heard that certain computing stuff is going into quantum mechanics,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of nuts to think about. But right now, technology, like, advancement has been kind of really slow in mm-hmm. the computer game. So yeah, he was saying like you spent like a good chunk of change on this computer. Like this will probably last you, if nothing breaks, it'll probably last you like a good 10 years before you have to like upgrade anything. Mm. And I was like, that's good to hear.
You really think it's gonna last you 10 years?
Probably not. I'm sure they're gonna be like, hey, guess what? Like 17K monitors are out and you need 15 graphics cards.
I would say I think you're good with 5 years.
Yeah, I think I'm good with for more than that. I think if I want to get the performance I'm getting now,
yeah.
I have a max like 4 years.
Yeah.
But like yeah, I think I have a good chunk of time left.
I only say that because VR is going to become something that's very that'll be a lot more accessible down the line. And I think that's where you're going to start to feel it when VR becomes a thing you do on more than the norm. That's all I think.
Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing. Like when I originally built this PC, I was like around $1,500. I was like, but being VR ready though.
Yeah.
Right. So all my stuff's like VR ready now. And it's kind of, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
The VR headset that was it. Oculus had a sale, like some insane sale happening.
Yeah.
But they're all sold out everywhere I see.
Yeah.
And it's not like I can really afford it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, building a PC is super cool. It was super fun. Messing around with BIOS options and all that.
Yeah.
I think the thing I would probably take more time into next time is picking out a proper motherboard.
Mm.
I did not realize that PCI slot thing would be such, or not that PCI slot, the USB header slot thing would be such a pain in the butt.
Mm.
Right? And I learned that there's bigger motherboards out there. I got an ATX size motherboard, and apparently there's ATX Extend, which has more ports and more stuff and more.
Oh, that's true. And you have a case.
And I have the case that could handle it. So I think if I were to upgrade anything, probably in the future I might upgrade that motherboard.
Mm.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. I like that.
Cool stuff.
My PC is amazing.
Nice. But your keyboard shit.
My keyboard is shit. It is a Dell keyboard.
Call me when you got that. When you got that mechanical.
That Black Widow.
Yeah.
To go with my Razer.
Yeah.
Was it? What is that fucking mouse I have?
I don't know.
It's something Mamba. So like gaudy. Something Mamba Tournament Edition.
Yeah.
So, oh, but I made the Italian PC.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Your PC's white. Yeah.
So my PC case is white.
Yeah.
My graphics card is red, and even though I tried to avoid LEDs.
Yeah.
Some of my stuff still has LEDs, so I turned all the LEDs to green.
Wow. You should say that the side of your case is clear,
right? Is clear, yes. That's why you're... So you can see.
Also, I saw your graphics card. That ain't small.
No, it's bigger than my... It's bigger than my head.
Yeah, it's like as long as my MacBook.
Yeah.
It's about the key... It's about the size of the keyboard on my MacBook.
I think if I didn't get a full tower...
Yeah.
I don't think that thing would have fit.
Yeah. It's huge. It's a big thing.
It's huge. Yeah. And I have a spot for another one.
Oh, man. See you next year.
See you next year. So that my card has ports for up to quad SLI.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get four cards and stick them all together if I have the motherboard to support it, which I don't.
Mm.
So yeah.
Cool.
PC building is fun. It's just stressful and arduous to actually build.
Yeah, I bet. It's like a car.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if you're working on a car and you haven't done it in a while.
Yep.
But man, saved me a lot of money. I was able to pump that all into performance. So.
Cool.
Free shipping on everything too. Mm. Felt good.
Nice. You should spend that much money.
I know, right?
Fuck.
I think the biggest pain in the butt was having to go to the NCIX store in Toronto to pick up stuff for free shipping, and then driving all the way back, and then driving back out to TFCon.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Which we went to TFCon. We went
to TFCon.
I came for a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah.
Kind of caught the tail end of that show.
Yeah.
And then I went on Sunday. Mm. You were there all weekend.
I was.
Tell me the hot purchases you made.
The hot purchases I made. So, TFCon, I am on the event staff.
Yeah.
And that means that dealer room opens, I believe, at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
For the...
Wait, sorry, AM?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. For the people who pay the premium pass, right? Regular entrance is at 10. And staff is, you go in where the fuck you want. So I walked in. You dropped us off. You dropped me off along with my friend Rex. And Rex wanted to get in early, but he's not staff. He's just regular.
Yeah.
But
brought him is at plus one.
I did. I told us that. I said, don't worry about Rex. Because we went in and I saw the line. The line, you know that hotel?
Yeah.
It went to the bar.
Whoa!
Yeah, from the dealer room to the bar.
Dang.
When we walked in, and he was beelining towards the bar, and I'm like, let's just go. Let's just go. And then, so we went to the front, flashed the VIP badge, which is pretty funny because I get a VIP badge because you're staff, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm not wearing the shirt, no one understands.
Okay.
So when I'm at dealer tables, everyone's really nice to me, and they talk to me, right? And some of them are like, so who are you?
Why are you VIP?
And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
Well, listen, yeah, you can't get them in your review head, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You gotta give an honest review.
Yeah.
If you're friends with the owner, it's tainted.
Exactly. Anyway, so yeah, we walked in early. We were there with 15 minutes before the mass media came in, and I saw all the convention exclusives, and so I bought one of them. I bought their hot purple and blue car robot man.
Okay.
From Mastermind. He was pretty cool.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah.
Purple and blue robot man?
He's called Calidus.
Okay.
His real name's Hot Rod.
Oh, is this one of those, like, third party, we can't actually call it what it is?
Yeah. So I bought a whole bunch of Transformers toys. The previous night, there was a couple room sales and stuff that we attended in the hotel.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I didn't know that people are just like, they set up their hotel room during the day as a storefront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so everyone, we're just going up and down in the elevators like, okay, where's the room? We knock on the door. And then people, they'll be like, what's up? And be like,
yo, you got the goods?
You got the goods? I'm like, yo, come on in. Come on in.
Got that plastic crack.
And it's always funny because these room sales are hilarious just because, like, because they sleep in this room in the end of the night.
Yeah.
So you see their suitcase of luggage just strewn about. But then on the beds, on the walls, just toys, right? I think, I'm pretty sure you went to Hoopla's room.
Okay.
But by then, was his cleaned up?
No, he had toys all over the bag. Toys everywhere?
Yeah. Okay. So his is probably the messiest one.
Oh, really?
Because other people have, like, boxes. Like, it looked like the dealer room in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Room. So it was really cool. And I bought my big Fortress Maximus in one of the things there.
That toy's huge.
Yeah, it's big.
It's not a small Transformer.
It's claimed to be the biggest Transformer, official Transformer ever made.
Dang.
So that's cool. And then, and then the actual show progressed. Super busy. Mm-hmm. Real busy on the Saturday. Met a lot of people. Saw a lot of people. Cool guests. A lot of people came up and greeted me. They recognized me as the Type V3.
Ooh.
A lot of children recognized me as the Type V3.
So here's the thing, man. Kids watch YouTube.
I know. But it's so crazy when someone tells me, like, oh yeah, like my son's 8, 10, he watches you. I'm like, that's great. But when I meet the 8-year-old, I'm like, oh fuck.
You're actually 8.
You're actually 8. And you do not, you A, do not understand sarcasm, and B, I probably should be a little more censored now. Like, in terms of...
like, in your videos?
Or when I'm just talking. When I'm talking, yeah. Because I meet a lot of adult collectors, and yeah. I'm like, okay, we're cool adults. Yeah. But then it's like, you're just an 8-year-old.
You gotta tell them about the real world. It's the real world of toy collecting.
Yeah. But so that was fun. I hung out with friends, and then, yeah. Just did the chit-chat, nice. Socialize, and toys.
Yeah, I went because you told me there were hot video game deals to be had.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, apparently, that dealer didn't show.
Yeah, a lot of the video game dealers didn't show up this time.
Yeah, which was not cool, but it was still fine because I kind of got to focus more on seeing what the toy show is like yeah. Seeing all these different Transformers.
Like, this is probably the most TFCon I've been to.
Yeah, there were Transformers everywhere.
Like, I was surprised at how much, like, I know it's the Transformers convention, but this show usually has a good half and half mixture of, like, half is TF or Transformers, the other half is just anything else goes.
Okay.
But this time, because it was weird, this is the first year TFCon felt like a real convention. Like, it had official sponsors.
It's sponsored by Schick.
Yeah, it was sponsored by Schick. We all got razors, man. Yeah,
to shave those neck beards.
Yeah, and instead of, we also got sponsored by Vitamin Water.
Oh, yeah.
So when you were in the dealer room and, like, you're getting hot and you need thirsty, because I don't know about you, but whenever I'm in a big dealer room, you should bring a bag with, like a Cliff Bar and a water bottle.
Yeah, that's what I do. Or not a Cliff Bar, but I have a water bottle.
And some sort of sustenance. Anyway, so they just had free pallets of vitamin water.
That's awesome.
And all the flavors. And it was just like, that's wicked. So we did that. It was fun.
I ended up buying a Soul of Shogokin Shin Getter.
Yeah.
For like $30.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy deal.
Yeah, I think you... I don't know if I have mine down here. No, it's not here. Yeah.
Yeah, that toy is much heavier than I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty awesome toy.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a record at the toy show.
You did.
The original soundtrack to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
And I bought Ikari Warriors 2 for the NES.
You sure did.
I did.
Mm.
So I didn't actually buy a Transformer at the Transformers convention.
That's fine.
But I thought it was a pretty cool experience just to see, like, kind of the crazy, the more expensive hobbyist toys there are in the world, right? Seeing kids like who are 16 drop close to $700 in cash, and walk away with a toy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you saw that? Shit. Yeah, there was a part where you were volunteering, and like end of the day, this guy, I forget what he bought, but it was big.
Yeah,
and I think the kid had like $500 to $700 in cash in like 20s.
Yeah.
He just popped it on the fucking dealer.
Damn.
I was like, hot damn, these Mississauga kids know how to party.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience. I really enjoyed it. It was, I don't know if I'd come for a whole weekend.
Yeah. No, I think if you just come for like one day, I think it's fine.
I think next time if it's a multi-day event or like a one day, if it's a multi-day event, I'll try and come on like the main day.
Yeah.
But I think you and Rex said that the next ones are just like one day mini things.
Yeah, they're all one day events. Yeah.
So it was fun. It was really cool. Toys for me have always been like a kind of a passing interest.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's like, oh, look, representations of video games I like.
Yeah.
But just to see like all the thought and care and like people who know, really know their shit. Like, it's not just you. Like, it's finally proof that you're just not this outlier who's way into toys.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the coolest booth was the Sentinel booth.
Oh, with the flame toys?
With the flame toys, even though they had no toys for sale.
No, they sold those Iron Men.
Oh, did they sell those Iron Men?
Like, yeah, like the ones on the table you could play with?
Yeah.
You could buy those. Like, not those specific ones, but...
They had boxes. Oh, because, like, when I looked at their booth, it was just a table with pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, one in a case of, like, coming soon. I'm like, they're so confident in their toys. They're not even selling anything. They just bought a booth, and they're
Did you see the price on that toy in the case?
No.
It's $320.
It's nice, though.
American.
It's nice,
That's though. A billion in maple syrup money.
Those Sentinel toys, those are some high quality fucking toys. Holy jeez. Yeah,
did you get a pen?
I did not get a pen. I didn't know where to get one.
You ask one of the... Oh, you have to talk to the girl.
Oh, man. That's where it all went wrong.
Oh, that's you couldn't talk to the girl.
Yeah, that's where it all went wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, she was too attractive.
Oh, that's a shame. I talked to her, and then I was like... And then she's like, great. Do you want a pen? I'm like, yes. What do I have to do? Because she's like, check it out. Look. I'm like, at first she said, do you want a pen? I'm like, I mean,
sure.
And then she's like, no. And then she showed me the light. I'm like, oh my God.
Give me that pen.
And she's like, okay, but you have to like our Facebook page. And I'm like, that's no problem.
It's already there.
Yeah. And then I got them to follow me on Instagram. So
nice.
Pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. My thing with that is that she looked at me and dropped a knee-how. And I was like, listen, you can't just fucking roll up to a white dude and drop some knee-how, okay? Like, I'm not going to take that well. And then she dropped a hello, and I was like, hey, how's it going?
Oh, Anthony.
You're really pretty.
Oh, my God. You're a fool.
I am. That's my best accent.
Well, yeah.
Prepubescent teen accent. Hey.
Wow.
Or, like, the really big nerd who talks with all the spit in his mouth, kind of like with a lisp.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go play Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Or my regular voice.
Mm-hmm.
This one's an accent.
Mm.
But yeah, TFCon was cool.
Sure was.
Toys are cool. Toys are cooler than I thought.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Sure.
Maybe.
As the toy collector, not even I can stand behind that statement.
Wait, then I thought... I don't think that toys are cooler than video games.
No, but you just said toys are cool.
Yeah, I think toys are pretty cool.
And I think, like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna be like, yo, check out these 90s, like, these G1 Transformers.
Yeah.
I don't think those are cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. But
those hot new Transformers, those aftermarket Transformers.
Okay, yeah.
Like, what's the one, again, I keep forgetting his name, but the aftermarket one that looks like the Metal Slug tank.
Oh, Commodus.
Yeah, Commodus. That toy is fucking cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one, but...
Oh, yeah, that's hard to get a hold of now.
Okay, that one looked really cool, so...
Mm-hmm. Did you play with any of the prototypes?
I didn't know you could until we left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Rex was like, you could have played with those prototypes. I was like, what?
Hey, you just pick that shit up and go.
Yeah, I didn't want to touch it. I was just like, this seems expensive.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. But my mindset is, it's a dealer room. And if the toy is out, someone's going to touch it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple places that had, like, do not touch signs on their stuff.
Yeah, the things that you're not supposed to touch are in cases.
Okay.
But if there's something there, I mean, remember, it's a toy show. They want you to play with it so that you buy one for yourself.
Okay. Yeah. To get a feel
for
those ratchet joints.
Yeah, I like that. It's fun, too, because, you know, all the ones in the cases, like the prototypes for display?
Yeah.
So the night before when they were sending it up, I was just there, and I was like, I'm going to just check them all out for myself. I was just going through all the prototypes, because they're not plastic, they're resin, so they're super fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't really do anything. Like, they don't hold poses, because they're all floppy.
Oh.
But it's fun to see.
Nice.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, next time, I'll try to get a pen. and maybe I'll buy more toys.
Wow, next
time. Hopefully there's more video games there.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I was really hoping to buy a statue from the anime guy.
Oh, really? What were you trying to look for?
It's just anything, because he sells them on the cheap.
Oh, does he?
Like, he's like, you got a character you like? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right.
Her name's Yoko.
Yeah, and he's like, I got this, 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 and this.
Hot damn.
Yeah. And last time I didn't say yes to any of them.
You fool!
Yeah, because there's another anime guy, but he's fucking loco. He's just like...
Okay.
He sells this shit at 500% up on the aftermarket.
That's that nerd tax.
And like, I'm like, who buys this shit? And lo and behold, some kid dropped $1,000 on an Evangelion toy.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Because I want to buy it, because I was like, because I know it's like $300, and I'm like, how much is that? And he's like, oh, it's expensive. It's like a couple hundred. I'm like, okay, cool. Can I see the like actual price? And he goes to his buddy. He's like, how much is this, buddy? He's like, oh, that? $1,000? And he's like, whoa, are you sure? He's like, yeah, no, I raised it because on eBay it goes for $1,000.
Okay. I have a bone to pick.
And it's not completed listing.
I have a bone to pick. This happens in video games as well.
Yeah.
Going to used stores or going to conventions.
Yeah.
People who sell video games or hobbyist toys who think that what people are posting things for are what things sell for.
Yeah.
Right? When you compare on eBay, especially to any of you who are looking to buy things,
yeah,
eBay has a filter where you can check strictly completed and sold listings.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that someone put Super Mario Bros. 1 for the NES up for $200.
Yeah.
The only ones that are selling are the ones that are $10.
Yeah.
Right? So that is just a hot tip. If you see something you like,
yeah,
maybe check eBay sold listings and then use that as leverage.
Yeah. So this guy put up his Evangelion, like, giant awesome toy for $1,000.
Like, that was like regular retail $300.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, F this.
And then someone rolls up.
Some kid fucking rolls up and's like, I bet he thought I wasn't going to buy it. And I just see him with a smile on his face holding this toy. And I'm like, you paid $1,000 for that?
You paid $700 too much.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. But, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was our weeks.
Yeah, also, you know, to all the people who I met, and they're like, hey, Type V3, there's no fucking Gundams here. Transformers convention.
Screw you guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks. Thanks.
I think my favorite is that I kept bothering you when you were staff.
Oh, yeah?
You're like, hey, it's my wristband. I'm not trying to... That was my favorite thing, just to keep bothering you with the same fucking joke multiple times until you got tired of it.
Yeah, so funny. So
funny. It's funny to me.
Let's wrap it up.
Kamen Rider.
Kamen Rider.
We watched one episode because there was no new episode this week.
Mm.
Taiga got fucking punched in the ribs.
Yeah.
And only, last episode. Yeah,
only one person could save him.
Hero.
He had to be the hero.
But then, listen.
Mm.
You know he's on the evil side, right?
Yeah.
The big bad.
Yeah.
He's just like, listen, no, you do the surgery. Do it. But I want you to make a mistake on purpose.
Oh, no.
Because if you don't, I'm going to delete your girlfriend.
Oh. I'm gonna delete your girlfriend.
It's pretty much what happened. He's going to delete his girlfriend.
I want to say that to someone. I'm going to delete you.
I'm going to delete you. Well, that's a video game. Like, in League, that's a thing. When someone goes from, like, 100 to 0 really fast, like, they burst down. So you got fucking deleted. I love that phrase. It's so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened. And it was a pretty emotional episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taiga just kind of in a coma the whole time.
Yeah.
What's her face? Nico?
Yeah.
Nico just, like, really showing her true feelings for that character.
Yeah. She ain't a little sister. She wants it.
Yeah, she wants that. Yeah. She wants that doctor.
Mm.
She wants that D.
Mm.
And also, just this episode is also a reminder that, hey, they're doctors. Like, they're real doctors. They're not just fucking costumed crime fighters with a doctor theme.
Also, that Hero is the world's greatest doctor.
Yeah, he is the world's greatest doctor. There's a reason that he is the mentor for the main character.
Yeah.
For M. So, yeah, I think it was a pretty straightforward episode. It really just dealt with Taiga and dealt with Hero and their whole, like, kind of little bromance thing they got going on.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, overall, it was
getting the team back together.
Yeah, getting the team back together, getting ready for the final showdown, or the final arc, you should say. And kind of just, like, the whole thing of my desires right now are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
She is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, you technically can bring her back, you've shown no proof.
Mm-hmm.
And killing someone else and ruining that relationship, would probably leave a bad taste in my mouth when I get my relationship back.
Yeah, right? Of course. So he'd feel guilty.
Yeah, so Hiro let her go, man. Mm-hmm. She got deleted.
Yeah, man. Deletes.
Yeah, that, I like this bad guy. This villain is villainous.
Yeah, I thought what they were gonna do was go into a fight and he would never get the chance to delete her.
No.
But he does it off the bat.
He's like, all right, you don't want him?
Yeah.
F it. Delete, and then they fight. I was like, yeah. Damn, you waste no time.
Yeah. But I think the more interesting thing is the preview for the next episode.
Yes.
Where for some reason M gets convinced to kill Paradox finally.
Yeah.
And he's like, goodbye, Tensai Gamer.
Which is like, what the fuck? How are they gonna beat the main character if you can't transform?
Yeah.
Because he's the one with the Mario star power, so.
Yeah, or like, I wonder if it's like he's going to kill him, or if he's like, I'm going to absorb you.
Yeah, I don't think, if he kills him, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if it'd just be like, I'm going to control you.
Yeah, we are one.
We are one, you live within me, but you no longer have control over me. I have control over
like,
you.
Like, it's going to be a Sora Rocks situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be Gogeta instead of Vegito.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seemed like a pretty dark episode, but everything else in these past couple episodes that have seemed really dark has always like immediately been negated by the opening of the next episode.
Right.
So,
check it out then.
Still good. You said that it was either rumored or confirmed that this series seems to be a shorter series.
Yeah. So like mid 40s we're predicting. Usually these series go up to late 40s or 50, 52. Okay. So, but this one seems to be like, it's going to be a little bit shorter.
Okay.
Which I'm okay with. Cause the thing that I didn't like about like a lot of series that go like all the way to episode 49 is the actual story ends at 46.
And then there's some filler.
Yeah. And then they have like two episodes of filler.
But you know, dude, this show, like the Sum 41 album, has been all killer, no filler.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. There we go. Yeah, we're enjoying it. And speaking of which, we hope you guys enjoyed listening to our podcast this week. A little bit on the fat side. We filled her up.
There was a lot of news, and we did a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys look forward to next week's episode when we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, because we talked about everything this week.
Actually, no. Next week, we're probably going to talk about some big reveals from San Diego Comic-Con.
Am I? Or are you?
I probably will. Okay. I'll talk about some stuff. Like, there probably will be an Avengers trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we'll probably give you our detailed thoughts on the Destiny 2 beta.
The beta?
The beta.
Oh, the beta.
The beta.
I saw you playing it today. You got some early access.
Yes, I did.
That looks like motherfucking Destiny.
It sure is. Which Destiny.
Does not bode well.
It is Destiny. Yeah, you know what, Destiny... It definitely isn't Overwatch, that's for sure.
You're right. Yeah. It's worse than Overwatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say? No to that? Yeah, of course.
I was going to make the joke that it's better than... I'm like, no, I can't. I can't even do that. Like, I don't like Destiny that much.
Look forward to that.
Peace out, bruh.